This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. United States and Britain struck 36 Houthi targets in Yemen Saturday in a second wave of assaults meant to further disable Iran-backed groups that have relentlessly attacked American and international interests. An Iraqi militia leader, though, has downplayed the U.S. strikes, hinting at de-escalation. AP correspondent Karen Shamas with more.
Speaking to the Associated Press, Hussein al-Musawi, a spokesperson for Harakat al-Nujabah, one of the main Iranian-backed militias in Iraq, suggested a desire to cool down tensions in the Middle East. His comments come after the U.S. struck dozens of sites in Iraq and Syria, used by Iranian-backed militias and the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Musawi condemned the U.S. strikes, saying the U.S. must understand that every action elicits a reaction. But he then struck a more conciliatory tone, saying that we do not wish to escalate or widen regional tensions. The air assault was the opening salvo of U.S. retaliation for a drone strike that killed three U.S. troops in Jordan last weekend. I'm Karen Shama.
As VOA's Patsy Manakaswara explains, although the strikes occurred less than 3 hours after the dignified transfer of the three Army reservists killed, the timing was merely coincidence.
The timing of the U.S. strikes was determined mostly by weather, National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby told VOA during a phone briefing Friday.
It had no connection, none whatsoever, with the timing of the dignified transfer today at Dover Air Force.
The dignified transfer at Dover Air Force Base, Delaware, was attended by the grieving families, military officials, including Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, and lawmakers from the state of Georgia, where all three slain soldiers were from, Sergeant William Jerome Rivers, Sergeant Kennedy Layden Sanders, and Sergeant Brianna Alexandria Moffett. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
And this is VOA News. The United States and, again, Britain struck 36 Houthi sites. House Republicans will move forward with a $17.6 billion package next week that provides military aid to Israel and replenish U.S. weapons, but leaves no out more help for Ukraine. It underscores the challenges facing supporters of a comprehensive national security package that will also include billions of dollars for immigration enforcement. The move gives Speaker Mike Johnson and House Republicans a chance to show support for Israel, even though there is little chance the U.S. Senate will go along with the plan. Meanwhile, text of a broader Senate compromise is expected to be released this weekend, and a key test vote on that package will be held during the week. After 2 years of full-scale war, a survey shows Ukrainians are more united than ever in their rejection of Russian President Vladimir Putin and his ambitions for their country. But pride at their success is standing up to a much larger adversary and tempered by anxiety over future support from the international community. VOA Eastern Europe Bureau Chief Miroslava Gangadze reports.
Chile's Interior Minister Carolyn Toja said Saturday there were 92 forest fires burning in the center and south of the country, where temperatures have been unusually high this week. The deadliest of the fires were occurring in the region of Valparaiso, where authorities urged people not to leave their homes so fire trucks, ambulances, and other emergency vehicles could transit with greater ease. Toja said the two fires near Quilpay and Villa Almana had burned through at least 8,000 hectares since Friday. The El Nino weather pattern had caused droughts and hotter-than-usual temperatures along the west of South America this year, increasing the risk of forest fires. Jeff Custer, VOA News.
Yeah, it's Custer reporting on the forest fires burning in Chile that had left at least 46 people dead. Police in Paris report that they have arrested a suspect in a knife attack early Saturday in a station that left three people wounded. Reuters correspondent Lauren Anthony with more details.
Two of the victims suffered minor injuries, while the third was more seriously hurt. Police added they were not in a life-threatening condition. The suspected assailant's motive was not immediately clear. Paris has suffered a series of Islamist militant attacks over the past decade, but also occasional assaults by people with mental health conditions. Le Figaro newspaper, citing an anonymous police source, said the attacker at Gare du Lion was from Mali and carried an Italian driving license. It was not immediately possible to confirm this report.
You'll find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.